Welcome to Podcast This Escape, the podcast where we talk about the escape room that we escaped from in the previous episode of this podcast. Matt, Jason, you did it. Congratulations.
You succeeded at doing the thing that you said you were going to do from your first moment in the room.
Yeah, we know all the songs.
We escaped directly into our destiny as a rock star.
But we needed to prepare. If we had just stepped right out, the audience would have known right away.
Boo! That's the wrong wing, idiots.
We had to do
Why
the research.
Are you in Usher uniform?
That's that rich uncle's nephew guy.
Boo! We hate nepotism. Get off the stage.
And so we saved our rich uncle from having one consequence in his entire life.
And isn't that what it's all about?
Except he always wondered what happened to his poor nephew who disappeared. No one ever saw him again.
No one ever saw him.
As we fully talented Mr. Ripley, that guy. Can we find him and kill him?
For the next decade, there are always some rumors that the singer for this band mysteriously vanished or died and was replaced by a doppelganger, but no one could prove it. What a conspiracy.
Complete conspiracy.
After a few months of a break and lots of plastic surgery. No one has been able to tell the difference.
And meanwhile, there's this new papier-mâché artist that's come onto the scene.
Glitter to paper. Yeah. Everyone loves it.
Similar name, no relation. It's pretty cool.
Everybody wins except for the trampled lady with the sign.
Yeah, but maybe she deserved it. Who knows?
Right before the trampling, she was the happiest person in the world.
Yeah. She was.
So you want to go out.
Exactly.
Well, you guys did really well. You got through it all. You found all the things that you needed. You had a bit of a habit of being like, here's the solution. I'm not going to do that. Let's move on. Like 30 minutes in, you're
certainly can't be that.
Yeah, you're like, let's count up all these M&Ms. We'll definitely count them all and find out how many things we need to move. But we'll leave that for later.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I found it remarkable how, obviously, when we did the playtest, Billy, you played the playtest.
I did.
And
so
eventually, the room got done, as it did, same sort of way. Everything was done in a different order. The observations that were easy for you two were the ones that took Bill longer. Bill, the ones that you did right away were the ones that you were hesitant on.
I absolutely did not notice the bottle caps on the bottles, the pre-existing bottle caps.
Oh, yeah, that was a good catch.
And you were just like, those are two bottle caps. I did not notice at all.
Didn't search costume pockets.
I didn't look through the costumes. I was like, those are some costumes. Maybe I'll have to search those later, but I won't do it now. So that was my version.
Well,
that's so funny.
You spotted the little hooks on the tops of the guitar necks.
Yes.
Like Billy thought that it was going to be about hanging clothes.
I didn't see those. Yeah, I was like, two hangers for costumes and never thought about the guitar. So yeah, you caught on to that stuff really quickly.
You were observational with my silly little pictures and I appreciate it a lot.
They were great pictures.
The moment where I can't wait to see how it gets edited into the main episode of you saying, maybe this one is a chicken because then and now has the word hen in it. Ha ha ha, what a silly thought I'm having right now.
When I was looking at Brewer's Best and I was like, Brew, you.
Oh my God.
It's one of those cases where we're sitting here, you're not getting it. We're like, maybe that's an issue with the puzzle, or maybe there's a problem. Thinking, wait a minute, no, he already saw the thing and got it.
Yes,
so the puzzle's fine. It's just we need to wait for him to click
into
them.
And that's why we weren't saying anything. We were just sort of chilling, going, no, we know what hints to give you. The hint is you did it.
Yeah, the hint is go back to what you already said.
Well, also the fact that one had the ampersand and the other.
Oh, yeah. You were thinking character's important and to an extent, but not number of characters. It was specifically that D had to be there for that end.
For 1 second, I thought shovel and rake are garden tools, not in my accent, but maybe in yours, horse sounds like hose.
So garden hose. Can you just put that on and water everything with the hose?
It wouldn't be the first time that we've all been screwed over by accents on the show.
In the last room that we did on this Escape This podcast, we were playing and someone created a very long and complicated rebus based on Barack Obama with a rock being synonymous with Rock.
And so we were stuck.
And we were just like, that doesn't work in Australia. Like Barack Obama. It's a rock. There's a rock in the ground for Barack Obama. No, there's a rock for Barack. Those are different vowels.
We've got to remember sometimes to transpose things like that in our brains. Mm. And some of them don't hit.
But luckily for this one,
there was no excuse.
No.
Oh my gosh, that was so good.
It was so exciting to get to be a rock star at the end.
I know, that was a great ending.
You predicted pretty much how this was going to go. Not only did you predict, I'm going to go on stage and sing all this stuff, you also predicted that Mark was an artsy boy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I loved arts and crafts. It's just from being a fan of Mouse Tale for so many years.
Yeah.
These interviews, he mentioned it a couple times that he let go of his dreams.
You could tell the wistfulness there.
He started Mouse Tale to subsidize his arts and crafts career. That's what it was. That was his side hustle.
That to me, that's my fun. That's always the fun story about Leonard Cohen, because Leonard Cohen got into music because it was a more stable way to make money than poetry was.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
I love that as an idea. It's like, I'm a poet, but I'll do music because it's a more stable income.
That's wild, man. I did not know that.
It's a fun, dumb little story. But you did really well.
I was really worried that you were going to solve that whole bottles puzzle before you had any idea where it was going to go.
Yeah. Knowing that it needed the 6 digits.
Oh,
you're getting that quick thing for the hanging up of the guitars was great because I spent long playtesting and being like, how could I connect a little pear shape to a circle, or maybe does the rectangle go with the star, or does the thing? And it was,
I was wondering if that was what it was going to be, and then I didn't know if at a certain point we were going to have to match every single neck to.
Right. And the guitar. I knew as I had drawn those guitar necks, I went, oh no, I was not thinking about whether they look matching enough. I got to make sure it's not that.
there is the Fender Stratocaster. There is a, like, the red guitar did match perfectly with the Fender Stratocaster.
Very much so, because I don't know how to draw guitars, so I absolutely just Googled cartoon electric guitar, and those were the first ones that I drew, and then the rest were just weird-shaped variants. Because, turns out when you look up cartoon electric guitars, they're all exactly the same style.
It's always the Fender type.
But then I was a little bit worried. You looked at the set list. It was all going great. And then Matt, you said, oh, and it's been crossed out. And I went, does that look like a cross? What have I done?
It did look like a big cross.
I never considered it.
If I didn't recognize that one thing looked like a triangle and the hooks for the guitars.
That really blew my mind.
I don't know if I would have seen the shape of the...
No, I agree.
I was so impressed with that.
You want it to be medium obvious.
Yeah, it should be like obvious once you've sort of like solved it, rather than just like go, oh, and then this one has two bodies of guitars drawn over it for some reason. Right, exactly. I guess we'll put the guitars on it.
Perfect.
It's sort of that pipeline of like, you would never just think, oh, those are going to be guitar bodies. And you probably wouldn't think those scratches are the shapes of the heads of the guitars.
And if you think the logistics of fitting those guitars together in that manner, physics-wise,
but I think
probably
once you
doesn't
kind of
work.
Recognize the hooks and you're like, wait, that's a hook that matches the hook things on the guitars.
Yeah.
Could I hang a guitar? Which would I hang? Wait, now I know what I need to hang. And like, there's like a progression. I think that works really well.
Really well done.
I feel like that's the sort of thought process. I don't know how often I get to use it in these rooms or not, but I feel like that is very real escape room for needing to know where physical objects go and things match each other.
Yes.
It's hard to replicate in an audio space.
Yeah, there is all that space sometimes in an escape room where you're like, does anyone have anything triangular? And you're sort of wandering around looking for a triangle about this size. Be like, does anyone have it's like this big? And just walking around and be like, oh, that. I guess these two things match.
It's got to go somewhere.
I also appreciated that you said when counting the bricks, to simplify, let's make it 12 left and 7 down. That's exactly how I've got it in my notes. And
oh, that nice. Was
my starting point. I arbitrarily picked 12 left, 7 down, and then all of the other numbers came around that to make that happen.
I will say, I didn't do that in the playtest. In the playtest, I was like, yeah. And then I do it the right number and was very dismissive. And as soon as you said 12 down, or 12 left, 7 down, Danny tapped me on the shoulder and went, come here, showed me her notes, being like, see? Like, that's how you're meant to do it, idiot.
That's amazing.
My favorite thing in the playtest was, I looked at my notes, we talked about this, and I found this brick wall has a scratched letter N on it. I could not for the life of me remember why there was a scratched letter N on that wall. Does this mean something? Is this arbitrary and semi-arbitrary? It was a faded M&M reference.
I love that.
Delight.
I had that experience. So I was saying before that the last time Matt was on this show, he played a lighthouse-themed escape room that I ran. And I ran it because a guest had sent in a write-up of an escape room and said, you should run this on the show, rather than them wanting to come on and run it themselves. They were like, well, you should run it. And so I ran it so Danny could play and Matt came on to play alongside as well. And I had that similar feeling of, it's a really odd feeling of picking up someone else's notes and then being like, there's a door with a 6-digit lock. So when the players put in like 17263, it opens. And me going, where the hell did that number come from? And I'm scouring the notes like, where's the solution that leads to this? Like, I have to know because I'm running the room. And like,
I tried that reading other people's notes. It's, I don't know how people run my rooms.
I suppose they listen.
It's so much harder trying to follow someone else's logic.
Exactly.
That was really annoying trying to follow my notes and going, I can't find the entry for what happens when you hold the instruments up, but I have flashes in my mind of what that bit of note looked like.
Oh,
so
boy.
It must be here somewhere. Did I somehow delete it while typing?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know, but no, I just couldn't find it because apparently my past
categorized
self.
Categorized it on.
Yeah, my past self categorized it differently to my present self. I usually trust my past self to make things reliable, but not this time.
did you guys have like a favorite part?
What made
playing?
You feel best?
Did you feel good at any moments?
Well,
did you feel bad at any moment?
No,
we like
well,
to focus
I mean,
on the positives.
Obviously, when you're stumped, you know, there's obviously also you've edited out all of those very
loud. Yeah, you were never stumped. Don't let anybody know. A stumpless room.
But it is so, I mean, as like frustrating or not frustrating, but you know, as sort of like scary as it is in the moments when you're stumped and you're like, I'm never going to figure it out. Yeah. It's so exciting when you get like a little handhold and then you start to pull it, and then it all kind of crumbles away so fast. And that happened several times in this, and that was very satisfying. And I also like the detail of the parrot, sea captain.
Yeah, that's a keeper.
I really enjoyed
so
that.
So oddly arbitrary. I don't know when I wrote that.
It is one of those things where, like, the problem with the parrot sea captain thing is
too
that
many colors and animals
no,
going
is that
on.
It's like it's almost a pun that doesn't like that you because you can't go to somebody like you see because he's a parrot. He's like a pirate. Parrot, like a parrot. It's like it's not. There's almost something there that's like the two words combined, but then it's just parrot again,
and yet,
or pirate. It's you can't quite do it.
Never occurred to me. Typings on my phone as I worked.
I wonder if that's where that like thing of pirates having parrots on their shoulders came from.
Just an accent merge once upon a time.
So there was a. Yeah. So the ship was covered in pirates. Parrots. The ship's covered in parrots.
Of
course. Parrots. All right.
Exactly.
I guess so.
Okay, just out in the ocean. That seems
just,
like
that's kind of weird.
Parrots natural habitat, but yeah. Guess they hijacked a parrot.
Why do pirates have parrots?
I'm assuming they have parrots because parrots are a New World bird, and pirates were all like Caribbean-y.
They
right?
were a status symbol.
Yeah, it's like
ooh.
I can.
They were, you could make a big profit selling them to wealthy upper-class Europeans.
Oh, okay,
and
enough.
Also, they're highly intelligent and social, so they were just good company on a boat.
Yeah.
And probably not very delicious.
Very sweet. Yeah. That the perfect helps. Balance so those, of cute. Those tough days, you're like, oh, I'm not going to eat you.
I know you taste bad.
I hate your friend. Exactly. I'd rather have the conversation.
Yeah. And what about you, Matt? Did we talk about your happy moments?
Yeah, have you had any
I lived somewhat vicariously through a lot of, but that's the nice thing about those realization moments. Even if it's not you who like cracked it, you still get all the fun of it being cracked and then falling into place, and your brain is like, oh, I can think again, and it's really lovely.
And then you have freed me from my prison.
I appreciated your very simple, and Jason was looking at it going 12 left, 7 down in the audience, and you went, bricks.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the audience was a really good idea. I was like, they're kind of in a grid. They got seat numbers.
You did not want to give up on the fact that Mark might still be around.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe he left.
That's so upsetting.
He has responsibilities to the people that he's playing with that night. And he's thrown them away.
In the audience, there's that lady who has the sign that says, marry me, Mark, which are has M's and M's and M's.
She knew. A lot of She's M's. Clever.
M and yeah. M.
Sorry, she was clever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was. Rest in peace.
Oh, gosh.
They weren't even going anywhere. Like, she got it was a very vindictive trample. No one was trying. No. They were standing. They all were in their seats. They stood up and trampled her for no
just
reason.
In place.
Not cool.
Just really out of nowhere.
That's
she
what
fell
happens.
Over. She's like, I dare you to trample me, idiots.
When you've got a really good seat at a concert like this, as soon as you vacate it for any reason, even if that's fainting, that counts. You're going to get
people run in
seat filled.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly. That's how they get you. Warning to the wise, everybody out there.
This is how concerts go.
Never faint at a concert. Look, I think you did really well. I think you gelled well together in terms of like, you know, no one was off being like, I want to do this. And the other person be like, what? No, please come back. So it worked out very well. I think you did it very, very smoothly. I was very impressed. I was worried when you immediately jumped to the solutions a few times, but then luckily you didn't know you were there. So we had a nice long episode. But yeah, it was interesting. There were a couple little like things that changed to avoid confusion. Like
can probably tell from the picture of the guitar bodies, there was a sixth guitar originally.
Yeah, there was a sixth guitar.
The program that I drew those guitars on could not move them to change their positioning well enough to round that out.
Mm.
That's so funny.
And that was purely just because there were six arbitrarily. And then when I was solving, I was like, six bottles, six numbers, six caps, six guitars.
Can't
six
have that many sixes.
And I was like, well, that's really six.
Together.
Yeah.
You knew that there were six bottles and that was going to go with the fridge, as well you should have. Mm. But if there were also six guitars.
Yeah, it's just like an added, like,
that was a problem.
Cat-shaped guitar?
Was trying to put the guitars with the thing, and then I was like, no, I kept on having to be like, that's five. That's only
exactly.
five.
Right?
Unless
there's
a sixth guitar somewhere.
Yeah. We got to search the whole premises for the sixth guitar. So things like that, we changed just for that clarity of knowing what's going to be related. I think we changed where the bottle caps were on those bottles.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because originally...
different bottles had the bottle caps on them, and I went, oh yeah, initially I was going to make Instagram have a bad bottle cap on it because it's meant to be Stag, but it could also be Ram. But then I just drew the bottle cap on the wrong bottle, and so we went, nope, that's definitely better. Let's redraw bottle caps, put them in different places. Then I accidentally had one of the bottle caps on the correct sheep one, so I couldn't use the sheep as a decoy because the sheep was also on the correct one. So I had to change that again.
Gosh.
I was smart. Gosh.
Yeah.
But
all
in
right.
general, pretty similar stuff.
Well, I think we can leave that there. I think it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on and playing through the escape room. It was really lovely to have you both.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's such an awesome setting for an escape room so far.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Now, Matt, obviously, people who want to check out more of you can go and check out Finish It. Do you want to give a quick little link for where people can go to find Finish It?
Yeah, absolutely. Finishitpod.com is our goofy website, or we're still on x.com doing whatever tweets are called now. And We're on Blue Sky somehow. It's all Finish It Pod, app Finish It Pod. But all the links are at that website.
Lovely. And Jason, I don't know if there's anything that like you can get people excited for that you're working on currently that they can go and check out or something that's recently happened.
What do you want people hyped for?
Well, at some point in the fall, a new TV show is going to come out called Matlock, and I'm on that TV show.
New Matlock.
That's
so exciting.
It's so exciting. Yes. Kathy Bates as the new Matlock.
Oh my God.
Awesome. Oh, nice.
She's awesome. So great.
I hope we get access to that.
I hope so too. I hope it comes there fast.
That's awesome.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And for people listening, thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
And if you want to help support the show, first of all, like just tell people about it. Tell friends and coworkers and family and enemies and people on the street and anyone you want. Just be like, hey, go listen to the show. Word of mouth is still the best way that people learn more about podcasts and will actually listen to them. You can also support by signing up for the Patreon. Anybody who signs up at any level can appear as an NPC in one of our rooms. There's a few in this one.
Oh, yeah. So thank you so much. Tessa LaPointe, Jacob Finkel, and Mark Coleman, of course. Let's not forget Unintelligible, our Usher friend at the start. And, of course, Mousetail.
Yes, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you all for supporting.
Legends.
It's all real.
And anybody who supports it, at $5 a month, you get a whole bunch of weekly bonus audio episodes of us solving mysteries. You can hear the playtests for all these episodes. There's video content for $10 donors.
We react to sitcom escape rooms and other TV show escape rooms.
We've been doing reactions to any pop culture escape rooms.
Trivia for $20 donors. I write a monthly trivia for you. You can answer it. I also like post random Sporkle quiz links that I've done and we can share how we did at them and what we're learning.
So lots of fun stuff and it helps support the show. We don't run ads on this show. I don't like ads. And so it's nice to be able to support ourselves doing with just donations and patronage and things like that because it's a good way to make something that is just what it is. I don't need to make the show purely on the virtue of whether or not it can sell you
it
a Squarespace.
It didn't need to be Mousetail sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Exactly. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for coming on. And thank you, Danny, for running the room.
Thank
it was fantastic.
You.
Yes.
Don't thank me. Oh, I didn't do anything. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.